Proverbs chapter 4, we're continuing our study in the book of Proverbs, a book of wisdom. We're going to be in it all morning because our second section deals with fathers teaching the children. And let's read our context in Proverbs 4:1, where we studied 2 weeks ago. Hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction for her. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Bill, would you lead us in prayer? Well, in this section, you have primarily the thought of a father teaching a son. Actually, the whole book of Proverbs is written in that context, an appeal of a father as to a son. You have the mother, too, certain passages. But sandwiched in between there is the thought that wisdom is the principal thing. And that's what we're looking at in the Sunday school hour in verses 5 through 9. So in verse 5, he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, in the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, literally a translation there. And it's very simple. In fact, down in verse 7, he says, the wisdom is a principal thing. The Hebrew, more literally, is the beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And so what it's referring to is be decisive about this. Make a decision that this is what you're going to get. You want to get wisdom. So it's simple. And it's almost, you would think, it wouldn't have to be said. But it does have to be said because we need to get the point that how we need this and we need to take initiative in this. And, of course, wisdom is not mere knowledge, but it's the ability to rightly use knowledge. And the book of Proverbs we're going to see, especially in chapters 10 and following, many contrasts between righteousness and wickedness and the path of wisdom. Wisdom is a path. Now we know, as we've seen, wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord, and which is a reverential trust. And so wisdom begins with the knowledge of God. The fear of the Lord leads to the knowledge of God. And therefore we're not talking about just having some knowledge and I know how to make a right decision in business. I know how to make a right decision in finances. I know how to make right decisions in my home. And actually, Proverbs deals with all that, the very details of that. But it all stems from the relationship with Christ, who is wisdom. Christ is wisdom. And we'll see that in Proverbs chapter 8. We see wisdom personified. So we want to get wisdom and get understanding. Now, with this, you may recall certain studies that we've had. And I don't know if you've kept those handouts, but let me review a little bit. And we did a study on the requirements to obtain wisdom. Let me just recap this a little bit. So if we're going to get wisdom, we need to know how we're going to get wisdom. The emphasis here is make a decision. You want it? Come and get it. That's the point here. But then you might consider, okay, how do you get it? We were here yesterday. Well, actually, it was a rehearsal dinner. Then there were several theology student people here from various schools. And it wasn't all clear where their theology was. Had some good discussions. Well, you know, it's okay to drink water if the well is pure, you know. In other words, you want to consider your source and consider the Word of God. Test everything with the Bible. It's not a particular church, not a particular school, not a particular preacher, but what saith the Lord? Now that is wisdom. Wisdom is found in His Word. Now we've seen that wisdom begins again with the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God, but it does involve also a diligent seeking. It isn't just handed to you. I mean, it's here it is. It's in His Word. But it takes some digging, doesn't it? Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. If we're going to get wisdom, we've got to see this. Proverbs chapter 2. And you don't get it overnight. Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, then liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his heart. His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. And so you have wisdom provided. God is the source. But seek her, Jesus said, seek, ye shall find. Ask, it shall be given. Knock, it shall be opened. Persistency. In other words, you want to put an effort into it. There's a diligent, in fact, the daily devotional seeking of the Lord will acquire wisdom. You find that. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 8:34. So I trust everyone here has a daily devotion. There's no substitute for that, is there? You're in the Word. The Holy Spirit's teaching you personally. It's not enough. One message on a Sunday, four messages in a week. It's not enough, you know. You have to be saturated with the Word. Proverbs chapter 8:34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. It's a refresher all the time, isn't it, as you open the Bible and you're daily waiting upon God for wisdom in the very applications of your own personal life. So there's a diligence, a regularity involved. Now, we saw also a requirement to get wisdom is trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And that has the premise that we don't have wisdom. God does. So we're going to lean on God, and he can give us wisdom, trusting him for it. Along with that, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. So there's a self-distrust that's involved where we remain teachable to the end. Now that's a big one. And look, if you're in the neighborhood, Proverbs 9:9, he says, give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Do you get to a place where you don't need wisdom? We went to a Bible conference this past week up in Grace Church of Mentor. They had Dr. McAllister was there, Bob Jones, and Dr. Fellers was there from Northland. And they're very good. You want to get all you can get. And I'm not saying there's anything new. You would be careful about something new, some new doctrine. But it was Holy Spirit used it, and it was very good, the emphasis in Dr. Bob Fodder. And do you get to the place where you don't need it, where you don't need to be sharpened, you know, you don't need to be exhorted, you don't need the instruction? And so it's so important, isn't it? We don't want to be wise in our own eyes. We want to have that attitude like if you've ever seen a baby bird, when the mother comes, what does it do? It opens its mouth, right? It's ready to receive. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Teach me thy way. Show me thy paths. What do you have for me? And then, departure from evil. Of course, you know, there's generally, I found this to be so in the ministry, there's generally specific reasons that people aren't receptive or capable of hearing the Word of God. Usually there's sin in there somewhere. Maybe it's just a general neglect, and so a person's appetite is distinguished. But we want to have a hunger that comes because the heart is pure, right? You want to have the channels open where there's no blockage. And then another thing involved in the obtaining of wisdom we saw was to be open to chastening and reproof and advice. That's a whole subject in itself, but God does teach us, not just from the book. He teaches us in life, doesn't he? And then we want to value it. Now let's go to this one, Proverbs 23:23. You know, if you're going to get wisdom, you got to realize how valuable wisdom is, right? And Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth is the price to pay. Buy the truth. And sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. And so you want to make whatever sacrifice. Now, there's some other things. If you're going to get wisdom, sometimes you've got to put aside some things that are okay, but they may take up some time and keep you from the book, right? Keep you from prayer, keep you from really seeking the Lord. So there's a certain realizing all things are lawful, but all things are not edifying. All things are lawful, all things are not expedient. They're not the very best. And so if we're going to get wisdom, we've got to be willing to pay the price, right? To trim things in our lives so that we can really get wisdom and appreciate this. So get wisdom, get understanding. The beginning of wisdom is get it. Choose it. You may recall the illustration Jesus gave of the kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price, where a person sold everything that they had that they could get that. And that's what we're talking about, you know. And the things of wisdom, Jesus Christ, our relationship with Him, to know Him, to walk with Him, that's the pearl of great price. And it's worth selling everything else. In other words, putting everything else in a secondary position that we could obtain this. Okay, let's go on in our context. I want to spend some time on that, though. That's a little review of some things we've already seen. Requirements to obtain wisdom. That's a handout that's back there on that table, by the way. But going on in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, along with the positive, there's the negative here, the warning, forget it not. And this many a time you have in the scriptures, we've seen it in the book of Deuteronomy. Don't forget how God led you these years in the wilderness. You know, don't forget the lessons that He's given to you. Don't forget that He is the source of the wisdom. And don't let it go out of your mind where you go after the world and the flesh. Forget it not. Neither decline, and that literally in Hebrew means turn not from the words of my mouth. Don't turn away from it. Now, Proverbs 3:21 speaks of don't let it depart from thine eyes. That can help. We saw that. And in fact, you may recall Deuteronomy 6, where in our study there, where he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul. And these words shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. We're going to touch on that in the next service. And put them as frontlets between your eyes. Put them on your doorpost, have it before you all the time. In other words, do all that you can to have it before you, that you don't forget it, and that you don't decline from it, that you don't turn from it. Now, you know why this is said. It's because the Bible presents that man has a sin nature. And you know the song, Come Thou Fount, and prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. If you do nothing, you'll drift, right? If you don't make an effort spiritually, you're going to slip. And it's easier to slip than it is to make progress, right? It's just like walking in sand. You ever walked in sand? You know, if you're walking uphill in sand, you step up a foot, you maybe go down to a couple inches. It's hard to get out of that pit if you get down low. And so it's accumulative, isn't it? It's growth and grace. So we don't want to decline. We don't want to forget. We don't want to become undisciplined spiritually where we do have a turning and it's subtle, isn't it, how that happens? It doesn't happen overnight. You know, it's little by little. And you know how it happens, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, and other things come in and choke the word, that it becomes unfruitful. The mind's on other things, and instead of on the Lord and on His word, and maybe the tests, maybe the trials, and there's a long list you could make, right? Things that can distract you. And so, forget it not. Don't turn from it. From the words of my mouth. Now, you notice how that's, if you consider Hebrew parallelism, that is wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding, don't decline from the words of my mouth, because it's the scriptures that we're talking about. That's where wisdom is found. Now, along the lines of the negative warning here, notice in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now, go back to verse 2. He says, I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. Now, this is a matter of devotion to the Lord, right? To Christ, who is wisdom. Forsake her not. Now, you wouldn't want to turn away from Him. You know, Jesus, when the multitudes turned away based on His teaching there in John chapter 6, He said to His disciples, will you also go away? And Peter said, to whom shall we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure Thou art the Christ. And so are we going to forsake wisdom? If you forsake wisdom, you know what you're doing. You're forsaking the Lord, who is wisdom. So it's personal. In fact, we're going to see later, this involves embracing, loving the truth. So it's personal. This is a matter of the heart. If it's just the head, I don't think that'll keep us. We know right and wrong. We know the verses and so forth. Maybe we've memorized. That's good. But if it doesn't hit the heart and it's not personal, then we're in trouble. So forsake her not, wisdom, spoken of here as her. And then you have a promise. Now he begins to get into some promises, and we've seen this repeatedly. There's the blessing, if we're faithful along this line. And he says, she shall preserve thee. Forsake her not, she shall preserve thee. Now we know God is the one that preserves, but He is wisdom. And it's a definite promise of protection. And you could compare it, I won't turn there, but Psalm 121, how the Lord keeps thee. And He preserves thy soul. And He preserves physically thy going out and thy coming in. And that psalm seems to be like a traveler's psalm. But then also, He'll preserve thee from all evil. He'll preserve thy soul. So definitely it involves a spiritual preservation. So if we don't forsake wisdom, she shall preserve us. There's a protection in that. And you're keeping one's feet, holding to wisdom. Well, then you're not going to go in a dangerous path that's going to have bad consequences, because you're holding to wisdom. So how important it is. And you know the enemy's there to give the young person the offer to go off in a different direction. And everybody's doing it, right? You know, it's the appeal of the world, and it sounds good, and it's surely it's reasonable. And you've heard the phrase, well, Johnny, he needs to sow his wild oats. Well, that's an abomination. You know what that is, don't you? That is making provision for the flesh. And it'll have its consequences. So we want to stay on track, right? We forsake her not. She shall preserve thee. And then now it gets to the heart of the issue in verse 6b. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now we saw that in our study in Psalm 119, where the psalmist brings out, oh, how I love thy law. And here you have the loving of wisdom. Now when it's embraced with the heart, there he says, he shall keep thee. Now I want to go back to this thought. And let's go to the New Testament, just so that you see it. That Christ is wisdom, Colossians chapter 2. This is where this becomes personal. We're not forsaking Him. We love Him. In Colossians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is refuting Gnosticism here in the book of Colossians. And, of course, they claim they had higher knowledge. Well, what he's saying is knowledge, true knowledge, is found in Christ. True wisdom is found in Christ. In Colossians 2:2, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, one way you can tell, now we've seen this in our studies, 2 Peter and Jude, one way you can tell if a preacher is on track is he preaching Christ? Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And he is the subject of the book, right? The volume of the book, it's written of me. So definitely he's the subject of wisdom. So you're on track when you're seeking Christ, when you're loving Christ. That's really where the whole thing leads to, doesn't it? The knowledge of him, a relationship with him, your devotion to him. That's what'll keep you. Not just knowledge, right? Knowledge puffeth up, love edifieth. But if you love the Lord, that'll keep you from going off. And, you know, it all comes down to that. Let me touch on that subject of apostasy a little bit. It isn't just that some false doctrine comes in and you embrace it. If a person does that, it's because there's not a single heart of devotion to Christ himself. Remember what Paul said? I fear, lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his craftiness, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity or the singleness that's in Christ. Because that's where the enemy is trying to get in there. Even in a practical sense, he's trying to work in there in your relation to Christ. Do we trust him? Do we love him? Are we seeking to honor him? Is he first? It's really the issue, isn't it? That's the issue of wisdom. He is wisdom. Our relationship with him is our relationship with wisdom. So love her and she shall keep thee. Now there's a safeguard in this. And if you keep your heart with all diligence, out of it are the issues of life. If the heart is right with the Lord, well, surely there's a safeguard that you have. So, you know, when it's all said and done, say at the end of the day, and you have the hubbub. It was a day of hubbub. I'll have to say that. With a wedding, you know, it's a lot of hubbub. And then it's so nice. At the end of the day, you get alone with God. Talk everything over with the Lord, you know. And you have your fellowship with him. And it's kind of the bottom life in line in life where we can just have that relationship with him and be content with the Lord and rejoice in him. So love her. She shall keep thee. Now, let's go on to verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, Kyle and Delich render this. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. And now, consider what that means. It doesn't just mean that now wisdom begins with a decisiveness that this is what you want. I believe that is involved here, as it's chosen as a priority. But the point is this, it's wise to get wisdom. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. Does that sound redundant? But you know what he's saying here. In other words, you're a wise man if you realize that this is the priority and this is what you're going for. And you are shutting out other things as secondary in comparison with this. You understand that this is primary. Now, not saying a person doesn't see it at all, do they? They think you're off your rocker a little bit, you know. Then you're living in this realm of devotion to the Lord and you're walking by faith and love to him. But a wise man who knows Christ, who is wisdom, he understands the priority, the value of this. On the value, let's go back to Proverbs 3:13. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. So what a blessing, what a priority is wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 16:16. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? Now you notice there's a choice involved there, but there's a realizing the value and then a choice. Now, one illustration in the Bible here would be Moses. They say Moses was next in line for the throne of Egypt. And there was the pleasures of sin for a season, probably all the wealth of Egypt that he could have chosen. But what did he choose? He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And so he made a choice. And he identified himself with the Lord and his people. And by faith, it says that Moses did that. It says by faith, a person realizes these things. I was reading this morning in my own reading, The Rich Fool. And of course, he was pretty prosperous. Prosperity comes from God. And it's just a parable. But soul, thou hast much goods for many years. Ye drink and be merry. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be? And so is everyone who sets their heart on these types of things, this type of riches, and isn't rich toward God. Not perfectly quoting there. And so you see the contrast here. How much a person has wisdom who seeks the Lord and puts him first in life and not material things or anything else. And so wisdom is the principal thing. This is the beginning. This is what should be chosen first as a priority. The highest thing is wisdom. Get wisdom is what he's saying. But it comes with a choice. Now, a person can profess that they make a choice, but the pattern of their life proves the choice, right? And so you can tell by the very emphasis, as one person put it, you can tell a person's God, what a person's God is when they have free time. Think about that. Or where does the mind go? Where does the heart go? So if this is the principal thing, it'll come out. It'll be seen by a pattern in life. So it's the principal thing. Get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. With all thou hast gotten, get understanding. And in other words, continue to pursue it. We don't arrive in this life. Be not wise in your own eyes. Continue to be open to the teaching of wisdom. Now let's go on. We'll cover two more verses here. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now the exalting of wisdom here is to esteem wisdom, to value and estimate very highly, to hold it high in price, is the thought. Exalt her. And how much value do we put, for instance, upon the Word of God? Isaiah 66 says, to this man will I look, even to him who's of a contrite heart and trembleth at my word. And so there's a trembling at his word. And maybe I shouldn't tell you this, but I will. There's yesterday in the wedding, there was a solo that was sang, and it was, and in the words, it was about love, and it said, love is the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I couldn't do that, because, you know, when we dedicated this church, it was to the Lord, and it was to the truth, and so I had him substitute that one word. Some liked it, and some didn't, but that's the way it is. And because you're not to add or to take away from the words of this book. The point is, I respect the Bible and respect what it says about Jesus Christ. Esteem her. Exalt her. And so there's some things you don't compromise on. And that one of them is Scripture. And so in giving Christ the preeminence. So exalt her and she shall promote thee. The man that sang it, he was good with it. And so, but lift thee up is the thought. It'll promote thee. Now, promotion comes from God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 2:30. First Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now that's God speaking to Eli, who put his sons before the Lord. Can you put anything before the Lord and get away with that? And so he's going to honor those who honor him. Let's go to John chapter 12. So if you esteem wisdom, you're esteeming Christ. He's going to honor you. John 12, 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, by the way, God knows who's really serving him. But if you serve him, you're devoted to him. You know, the thought of being a servant in the Bible, that's a Greek word, doulos. You're a bond slave. You're here to do his will. You're devoted to do his will. He's going to honor you. So, exalt her, she shall promote thee. Literally, she shall lift thee up. Now, this is the opposite of being puffed up, of self-exaltation or self-promotion. This is promotion that comes from God. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 4. Now, exalt her, she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 3. This is in contrast to the shame of the path of foolishness. In Proverbs 3:35, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Now it's true, the unsaved, like Paul brings out in Romans chapter 6, of those things that you're now ashamed of your former manner of life, he says. Well, the shame is the promotion of fools. Actually, for eternity, that will be their portion. But for the person who exalts wisdom, they'll be brought to honor. And coupled with this passage, the wise shall inherit glory. For eternity, the child of God who has sought wisdom is going to be honored. Now, notice what he says, though. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Now, that word, actually, in the Hebrew, that has to do with a tender love. And so it's that which would be in the marital relationship. Well, we are in a marital relationship with the Lord, and it's a covenant relationship. And there's an embracing her where you're hugging that close to your heart. You know, you're hugging the book close to your heart. And the Lord, you love the Lord. And again, the affections are involved here, and that's where wisdom is going to be held to. And that's where there's going to be this blessing of lifting up and honor that comes from God. And he knows, right? It's not just the profession. It's not just the form. There's the form of Christianity even. We can even have all the lingo, and a person can go through the motions, but God is looking for that true devotion to him and love to him and embracing him. And that's where there'll be this lifting up and this honor that comes from God. And he goes on to speak of the blessings here that come when a person embraces and esteems wisdom. Verse 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Now, this is a graceful garland is the thought, and we've seen it. Let's go back to Proverbs 1:9. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 9. Verse 8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. So now the ornament of grace, it's a graceful garland, is the testimony of Christian character, basically is the thought. And let's compare Proverbs 3:21. It's obviously not some physical ornament, but it has to do with the wisdom shining through in the character. In 3:21, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. In other words, it's like something that you wear. For instance, if a person is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, he's called the Spirit of Wisdom, by the way. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. Well, there's grace in that, isn't there? There's a beauty in that. There's a certain, it's like there's a fragrance about that. You know, a person that's walking with God, it affects you, doesn't it? As I appreciate Pastor Bob Potter. He's a real mature believer there, true shepherd. I can see that with him. And there's the grace there. And it's a beautiful thing. It's good to get around that. You know, you get around as godly Christians. And it's an ornament of grace. Let's go to the New Testament on this in Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. This is talking about the Christian on the job here. Good illustration. Not purloining. In other words, you're not cheating. You're not taking anything. You're not stealing their time either. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, you're loyal, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us. But notice, there's an adorning. You wear it. You adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior. People, many times, are not going to read the Bible, but they're going to read your life. In fact, they're more than we realize, they are reading our lives. They are examining now, is this person has a claim of eternal life and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I see any difference in them? They ought to be able to see a difference, but there's a wearing it. So let's go to Philippians 1, where you have the thought too. Testimony for him, an ornament of grace. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation, your manner of life, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. But you notice the manner of life becoming to the gospel, something that you can see. So that's referring, of course, to the unified testimony of believers in a local body. And so there's a testimony when a believer embraces wisdom. It'll give you an ornament. You've got a garment you're wearing when there's wisdom. It becomes evident, even to the unsaved. Okay, let's look at one more phrase here, back in Proverbs 4:9b. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee, a glorious diadem. Now, we've seen in the book of Revelation there are the crowns, and there are two words for crown. One has to do with rulership. Of course, the Lord rules. And the other has to do with rewards. And the church will be crowned. Actually, we'll be casting our crowns at Jesus' feet. And so this seems to speak of an eternal glorious diadem will one who embraces wisdom have. And she shall deliver to thee. This will be bestowed upon such a one. So forever a believer, a one who has true wisdom, is going to have this crown. So it's quite interesting, a reflection of the future. And we saw back in chapter 3, verse 35, the wise shall inherit glory. So it's not just that which brings blessing in the present life, but that which will go into eternity. And let's look at one example of this. Daniel chapter 12. Right after the book of Ezekiel, Daniel chapter 12. Doesn't use the word crown, but it gets the same point across, I believe. 12:2 says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So it'll be seen forever. A person who has walked with God, walked in wisdom, embraced it. Okay, let's go back. And in summary, primary point of this section, and the first thing is, get wisdom. In other words, make a decision about this. It is a matter of choice. You know, that we are a personality, right? There's intellect, sensibility, and will. And that will part comes to play when it comes to wisdom, where you want it, get it. That's the thought. You see how important it is? You see the value of this? Go for it. And it's always a beautiful thing when that comes in a young man's life. I've told this before, but with Andy, I remember when he was a freshman in high school, he was convicted to read the Bible. And he really got serious. And then he was in a class in high school, and they were asking what your future was. You had to write it down. And as he thought about it, he kind of came all in place in his mind. And he was going into ministry. But it started with, I'm going to get into the Word. And then it resulted in transformation and dedication of life there. And so we want to make a decision. I'm not saying everybody's called to the ministry that reads the Bible. But certainly it ought to be a priority. And we are all called to serve. And God has a purpose for all of us to fulfill in the body of Christ. A unique role, by the way, that's very necessary for the rest of the body. That's the way you want to look at it. We're saved by grace, but He's ordained us to walk in certain good works. He's ordained that we should walk in them, Ephesians 2:10. But we want to choose this. There's a dedication involved in this, isn't there? I would correlate it with you present your body a living sacrifice. And that's a matter of the will, isn't it? You choose to do that. You are offering yourself to God. I believe a person who does that with wisdom, they're going to obtain wisdom. If it's just a half-hearted thing, I'm going to read my Bible once in a while. When did you read your Bible? Well, it's been a couple of weeks. Well, it's not even close, you know. Or you can even read your Bible daily and the heart might not be in it. Or there's a decisiveness that this is the priority that I'm going to choose. You remember, Mary hath chosen that one needful part that shall not be taken from her. If you choose it, by the way, you know God will grant it. We could come up with a list of things, reasons why we can't, or other responsibilities and so forth. And I like what Pastor Ospo used to say, that's a lame excuse. I think, no, that's an idle excuse. That's the word he used. That's an idle. I'm too busy. That's an idle excuse. That's like, I'm too busy to be blessed. I'm too busy to have life. I'm too busy to have love. I'm too busy to have peace. So you're not too busy. It's a priority. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. These other things will be added. So it's a priority. That's the point. The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom. See that it's the main thing that you need in life. And of course, again, it does involve a relationship with the Lord, knowing Him. So our disposition toward wisdom we've seen here is to get it. And then you have some warnings. Forget it not, turn not from it, forsake her not. Three in a row. God knows our tendency. He knows how easily we can slip, how easily we can drift. So you want to take every safeguard you can. You know, we're creatures of habit, aren't we? And so, not that we, I'm not saying advocating a legalism, but it's good to give your time. I'll give you a testimony, Dr. McAllister, and it impressed me. He said, a lot of the men are staying up late studying or talking theology, which is good, but he made the joke that it's vain to rise up early, sit up late, eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. He said, I went to bed at 9:30 last night and got up at 5. And he said, that time is God's. In other words, you don't want anything to interrupt your time with God. You've heard that phrase. Now, this isn't the Bible, so take it with a grain of salt. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And there's some wisdom in that, isn't there? And where you get that time alone with God. And so, but don't forget it. Turn not from it, forsake her not, and then she'll preserve thee. And then you have these thoughts of positive here. Love her, exalt her, embrace her, and each time you have a promise. She shall keep thee, she shall lift thee up, she shall give thee an ornament of grace and the crown of glory. In other words, there's a great blessing. If you take this seriously, and this becomes a priority, wisdom is the principal thing. That's the main point here. This is a priority. It'll be the blessing that'll come. Let's pray. Father, how we thank Thee for wisdom that You've given us. We have this book, that we have Christ. And we thank Thee for the truth. And in a world that's so much false philosophy and such a drifting away from Christ, seems like any you can mention anything else, but you mention Christ, and there's the opposition. And Father, may we choose Him. May He have the preeminence. And may we grow in the grace and knowledge of Him, and love Him, embrace Him. May He have the first place. In Jesus' name, amen.